Now we're going to look at the second reading, which is Hebrews 12, and again, selected verses 18 to 19, and then they skip 20, 21, and then they do 22, 24. I think part of that is, you know, they try to keep the readings within a certain time limit, because the restless won't stay unless, you know, maybe every Sunday there ought to be one Mass, no holes barred, long readings, plenty of preaching, you know, and see who shows up. Because this, anyway, we're going to, whatever we got here, we're going to, this is a beautiful text, very different than the one we've just looked at. This one starts off, "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm." You haven't come to Mount Sinai, where all of this is happening, "to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to their daughter." You, Moses, you go talk to him. You know? This is frightening. "Even if an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death." That's the quote from Book of Exodus. "The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, 'I am trembling with fear.' But you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." Already, see, that's the church. "You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." That's what you've come to. You know, someone once asked me, oh, years ago, in fact, I was living in Jerusalem, it was that long ago, 1970-something. Anyway, this person said to me, "Is there any mention of the Eucharist in the letter to the Hebrews?" And I said, "Yeah, this text, you see, is talking about the liturgy, you see, this text in Hebrews 12. It comes just after the description of the faith in chapter 11. I wonder if I have time to read just a bit of that. You see, 11 is all this about faith and all the heroes of faith. And then 12, you see, "So now, having such a surrounding cloud of witnesses," you see, who? All these people he just talked about. "And now we could add millions, all the saints, and all the saints we don't even know about, but only God knows about." See, you've come now to the Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. This is every Mass. But it's also beyond that. But this is what we're involved in here. And that's why, you see, this text, very humbling to know that we're praying side by side with angels and saints every time we're at the liturgy. They're there. You know, people have seen the angels. You know, I remember one guy, he was not like overly pious. But he said, "I remember one day I was kneeling in church there at Mass, and all of a sudden I saw a light and I saw these angels going up and down and up and down." Well, that helped him a lot to strengthen his faith about what's going on at Mass, okay? And so, "You have come to a mountain that, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded." That's his incumbent on that. And then the quote, if even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. Moses, the leader. That's not where you come. See, you've come to a different mountain now. You don't have to be afraid, but you're only admitted to this mountain if you're humble and grateful. If you're proud and arrogant and think you don't need forgiveness and think God must be mightily impressed with you, you've come to the wrong mountain. You won't know what's going on here. You see? You come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. That's ours. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, that's his blood, that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. That's where we've come. Now we celebrate that. It's in a very intense way that whole description is true when we are at the Eucharistic liturgy. You see? We've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, because it would be impossible that the Lord of glory, the second person of the Trinity, in his glorified humanity, be present and angels not be there worshiping him. It'd be impossible. And so, sometimes when you're there, if you're there a little early, just pray and ask the angels to help you join them. They are in awe every time this happens. Every time these poor little people of flesh and blood and dumb, and they're standing there and they're saying the words that Jesus taught them to say, and he's there. And the angels gasp. Look what he's done again. The Lord of glory in his humanity, still bearing the marks of the slaughter, says in the letter to the Hebrews, the apocalypse, the lamb standing, still bearing the lambs of his slaughter. And we're there. We're there. Now, we should really ask our guardian angels to get us there. You know? And that's why it's so important that the liturgy be celebrated well. And I don't mean theatrically, that's not well. But with faith and with prayers and with music that is worthy of what's going on at the altar. You know, we get a lot of plunky plunk songs that keep us a little bit emotionally happy, but they're not leading us. Oh, I'm not going into this one, but a long work is involved in having music that leads us so that we know we're on this holy mountain. You see, we're here with thousands and thousands of angels who are in joyful assembly. We're at the church of the firstborn, that is, whose names are written in heaven. In fact, he tells us, you have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. You've come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel, the blood of Jesus. Now, we've come to that, you know, all day in a way, but the place where this is absolutely overwhelmingly true is at the Eucharistic liturgy. And to be absent-minded or superficial or stupid at that point is really dumb. We should ask the Lord, give me a glimpse of what's really going on. Oh, I don't like that sermon. Forget the sermon. Listen to the Word of God. Oh, I don't like the way he sings. Forget that. You are in the presence of the angels. In fact, we are in the presence of the Prince of all the world, Jesus Christ, the eternal, divine Son of God. And that's why, you see, it's so important that the music, the gestures, and the speech reflect that, help people enter into that, and not be, you know, if I'm preaching the account of my latest hunting trip, you know, that's not appropriate. We should be leading people, we priests, we should be leading people to know this. Where we are when we're at Mass is to this Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. That Jerusalem has come down to us because we're not fit or able to go up to it. And the heart of that heavenly Jerusalem is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, standing there, you know, still bearing the marks of his slaughter, surrounded by all these heavenly creatures and all the millions and billions of people who have been saved by his blood. And it's all brought down to us in good old St. Gwendolyn's Parish every Sunday. Now, how do we get ready for that? You know, I think I've told you before, I was so impressed by my father. Every Sunday before the 9 o'clock Mass, he sat down and he went over all the readings in his... Those days we had the old Latin-English Missal, that's all we had. There wasn't any liturgical form yet, reform yet. But he did that every Sunday, prepared himself. That was a great example to me of getting ready for Mass. And not zipping in there, you know, and late and distracted and distracting everybody else where you find a seat. Ask the Lord, ask the Mother of God to show you what's going on there. So that we priests, we are never distracted or never irreverent. This is not the time for jokes. This is not the time to be sloppy. It's not the time to be in a rush. I'll tell you why. Not only does it distract and disedify the people who have come there for whom we are leaders, but we'll hear about it one day on Judgment Day. Why did you say Mass that way? Didn't you know what you were doing? Do you think I ordained you to be a clown up there? Or to be distracted or bored? You beg me before every Mass, and the plaque in most sacristies is right there, a prayer you can say to help you. And so, this text, while it has many other applications, has one very powerful application. You have come to the Eucharistic liturgy, you see. You've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, because Zion has come down to you. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. Wouldn't it be great to see them once? We'd never forget it when we're at Mass. You see, instead of looking around or whatever, to the church of the firstborn, his own ecclesia, his own kahal, his own gathering. Doesn't mean the building, it means the church, the living church. See? Whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel, because it speaks a word of total forgiveness, the blood of Christ poured out, that has won salvation and purification for the whole human race. And it's right there in front of us. Amen.